Thank you, Lord. Lord, just thank you for your word today. Hallelujah. I had a message prepared and it got changed this morning. I don't like that. But God. Amen. So if you're here today, or if you listen to this message later, or listen to this message this morning over the internet, and you're feeling hopeless, you feel barren, full of emptiness, wondering if anything is going to happen, or if your desire for something so strong and it seems far out of reach, or perhaps you think nothing is ever going to change, and this message is for you today. You're in the right place at the right time for a miracle.
Amen.
Amen. And because miracles come to those that have a need of them. Amen. So your story sounds like a lady in the Bible by the name of Hannah. Anybody remember the story of Hannah?
Amen.
So in 1 Samuel, we can read about the story of Hannah, about the story of the miraculous birth of Samuel, and how God heard the cry of one. How God heard the cry of one barren woman to have a son. And so when we go through this, we can see Hannah crying out to God for a son. And at the moment, she may not have understood the greatness of that cry. And because that cry from her heart for a son was beyond her own present circumstances, and it was much bigger than her present circumstances. So one thing that we've got to get away from is the self-centeredness of us thinking that it's all about us. Because there is a greatness in you and a cry in you that's much bigger than what's around you. Amen? But her cry was beyond her own present circumstances of barrenness, but it was for the future of Israel. Amen? So having sons and having children in those days, especially sons, were a symbol of hope. It was of renewal and restoration. So never forsake the cry of intercession before God, because it may be the cry of something bigger than what you even realize at the moment. See the bigger picture. So sometimes we think it's just about us, but God is a God of a bigger picture. And we're just walking life, as I've always said, one step at a time. One step at a time. And Israel, we understand, had been settled in the land of Canaan, according to history, some 200 years. And as they began to enter into this land, they brought with them a hope for a brighter future from where they had come from. So they began to live as the people of God in this new place. But the years began to pass, and they began to get comfortable. Amen? And they began to forget how they celebrated their deliverance when they came into this new land. So they all began to become more occupied with their own interest than their desire, and then their desire for God began to grow dimmer. And so how many times in our relationship with God we start out, and then we get caught up in ourselves, in the things that's going on around us, and our relationship with God begins to grow dimmer and dimmer. And so the Bible says everyone began to do as they wanted to do. They all began to do what they wanted to do. But God heard the cry of a barren woman, and Samuel comes upon the scene, and the winds of change and opportunity now, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God heard the cry of this one woman, and the scenes of change, the winds of change, and opportunity are beginning to blow for Israel again. And it was a turning point in their history. So whatever you may be going through, don't give up and don't quit. Because I hear the sound. I hear the rumblings of heaven. I hear the sounds of change. Things are not going to be like they always were. Because Israel had come to the place where something had to change. And so many times in our lives, we have to get to that place of desperation and of saying, God, if it don't change. But God says to you, it's about to change. It's about to change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The lady sitting back there with the lime green top. The word of the Lord to you is things are not going to be like they have been. But the winds of change have come into your life. And those things that I've seen chaotic, and I see the wind blowing and everything, it just fell apart. But God says if you will continue to put your trust in Him, to continue to put your hope in Him, the wind of change that has been chaotic is now going to be the wind of the Holy Spirit that's going to put some things back together again. Amen. And God said, for there is yet hope for you. Amen. Amen. For there is yet hope for you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, you all know that I can't pronounce all these names. If you want to know what all these names pronounce, all I can tell you is Google it. Because I'm not a Googler. Amen. So there's a man in the Bible by the name Elkanah. And the Bible says he has two wives. One of them was named Hannah. That's a good name. And one of them was named this Peninah. And it does come from the name Penny. Peninah. Well, that's pretty easy to pronounce. Peninah. It don't look like it's pronounced that way. But anyway, they would go with her husband to Shiloh to present a sacrifice to God and worship every yearly, a yearly routine thing. And each year it was the same for Hannah, because Hannah was this barren woman that I'm talking about. And so she would always receive insults from Peninah, because Peninah could bear children and Hannah couldn't. And she walked away every year with the same desire, same longing in her heart. I'm still barren. I'm still barren. Childbearing, as I said, was a very important part of the Middle Eastern culture during the Old Testament times. Because having children, especially sons, in those days were a symbol of hope, of renewal and restoration. But having no children was a sign of failure. So Hannah was marked as a woman, a social outcast and a loser. And how many times have we allowed the taunts of the enemy, not necessarily through other people, but the taunts in our own heads that says you're still barren, what you have been believing God for, whether it would be a child or whatever you're believing God for, salvation of someone, and it's not yet happened. And how many times have we walk away still feeling that barrenness, that longing, and that desire that has not been fulfilled yet? The winds of change are blowing. Amen. And so who knows how long Hannah went through this annual routine every year going to the temple, going to the tabernacle. Yet she went up. Somebody say the power of showing up. Amen. The power of showing up. How many times have you got up on Sunday morning and the last thing you wanted to do was come to church? And you thought, if anybody says anything to me today, God help them. Now, I know some of you ain't all the way delivered yet, because I'm not all the way delivered yet. Amen? But I've come to tell somebody that there is an anointing of the power of showing up, even if you don't feel like it. You need to show up. Amen? The power of showing up. Every year, she showed up. Every year at the same place, but still walked away barren. And if we could just get into His presence, even with our downcast hearts, even with our bitterness, because God already knows it's there. And sometimes when we see that bitterness and those thoughts and the anger and things, we think we cannot go into the presence of God. But it's only in the presence of God that we can get delivered from these things. Amen? So if we could just get into His presence, God changes us from the inside out. So that through Him, He can do miracles on our behalf. The change starts inside and then works itself out. And then when it begins to work itself out, things will come into order. Because I said at the beginning of the service, those things around you has to come in submissive to the Word. Because the Word is bigger in you than anything on the outside of you. So if you can just get to His presence, amen, that's where miracles happen. So Hannah showed up. So there's power in showing up, even when we don't want to. But 1 year, Hannah decided to focus on God and his provision. And so instead of dwelling on her unchanging circumstance, because that's what the enemy of your soul wants to, is to want you to focus on the unchanging circumstance. Yeah. So if we can get ourselves off of that, and instead of standing on the outer courts of praise, like you're showing up for church on the Sunday morning, you don't want to be here, and you definitely is not going to lift your hands. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm here. Now you do your thing, God. But I'll tell you what, God can override your stubbornness.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But God, so Hannah did something that brought her into the inner courtyard of God's presence. She prayed. She prayed. Even in her bitterness, even in her barrenness, even in not understanding, she showed up and she prayed. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to come to church on Wednesday night. 6 to 7, we pray. We enter into the presence of God, seeking his will. And we've had some awesome things happen. We could see it happening outside of that room on Wednesday nights. Amen. So in her relationship then began to change. And in verse 9 and 10, it says, Hannah went to pray, and she wept bitterly before God. She boldly asked God for a son, because that's what she was wanting. Don't beat around the bush with God. He's got big shoulders and he can handle it. Tell him what you desire. Tell him what you need. Be specific with him. And it's okay to be honest. So the Bible says she boldly asked him for a son. And I'm here to tell you that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. For it's in his presence that miracles are born, church. So Eli, the priest, she began to cry out to God. And sometimes intercession can get messy. When you begin to get serious with God, what is in here begins to come out. Sometimes it's not pretty. Amen? And that's not twisting God's arm. That's saying, God, I'm serious about this situation. I'm serious about longing for this. I'm serious about desiring this. So Eli thought she was drunk. And finally he just said, God grant you the request you have asked of him. So Eli the priest blessed her and said, God grant you the request that you have desired. And so Hannah was satisfied with his response. Finally at peace with herself and her maker. She did not have the manifested promise yet, but she did have the word that God said, it's done. Come on, somebody. She didn't have that baby in her hand, but she had her promise from God that she was going to have that son.
Amen.
Amen. So after wrestling in prayer, she came on out on the other side because she got her word from the Lord. I'm going to grant your request. So in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. So though Hannah didn't know when she would conceive, she reacted as though she already had. That is the key to seeing the manifested promises of God manifested in your life. Once you look in here, that's the truth of God's word. I believe what it says. Now I'm beginning to see myself walking in victory. I begin to see myself prosperous. I begin to see myself healed. I begin to see myself full of joy. And pretty soon you'll start walking in what you have read, in what you have believed, because you have seen it. And then not wanting to show up on church on Sunday mornings, you'll be here an hour early. That would be a miracle. God still works miracles. Amen. So she reacted if she was completely healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in due time, Hannah gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel. Samuel meaning God has heard. Samuel was born in due season at a time when Israel needed hope. For those of you that have felt hopeless, this is the time where hope is being rebirthed again. So Samuel hears a voice, and Eli tells him, because at this time of this, what I'm reading here, she had gave back to God what God had given her. And we'll talk about more of that in a few minutes. So Samuel hears a voice, and Eli tells him to answer it, for it's God speaking to you. And the message that God gives Samuel is one of change. There's that word change again. The end of the old way of doing things has come to an end. What you did yesterday may not work for today. The word of God never changes. Amen. But the presentation of how that word is presented changes. Amen. Because there's a culture out there that don't understand the way that it was presented 5, 10, 15 years ago. We have to reach people at the level of where they're at. And it doesn't mean you change the word of God to do it, but you may have to change the presentation of how you do it to get the message across.
Amen.
Amen. So the message that God gives Samuel is one of change. The end of the old way of doing things has come to an end. Come out and say hallelujah. A new day is here. And so as he begins to tell Eli, Eli responds, after all, it is the Lord. Let him do as he sees as good. That's a bold prayer to pray. Lord, this is you, and you do what you seem is good, even if everything around me is to be shaken. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I know that the power of your Spirit will bring it all together the way it should be. So I'm going to let you do as you see fit, God. So Eli, he's a representation of what Israel was at that time, as I said before. He was older, his eyesight was failing him. Blindness was a symbol for lack of spiritual things in those days. This is a time where Israel was allowing the things of God to grow dim. And as we said, you know, before, there has been a word that has somehow become hidden deep inside of you. You may have been part of this church for years. You've heard the word that God heals, God delivers, God baptizes in the Holy Ghost. But sometimes the circumstances of life can overshadow that. Amen. But the word of God is in there. It's not gone anywhere. It's hidden in there. And this is a season where God is rebirthing some of those dreams and some of those promises and some of those prophetic words that you have. Amen. Your eyes have grown dim, but God says, I've taken off the spiritual blinders and you're going to see again. Amen. You're going to see again what the Lord God wants to do for you in this season. So when the word becomes hidden from us, there's a spiritual blindness because we can no longer see from our heaven's perspective. You know, we serve a supernatural God. And we've got to get beyond and begin to see with spiritual eyes and not with our natural eyes. Amen? So there is still inside of you some things waiting to be birthed. Put the word on it. In prayer and praise. Put the word on it. The watering of that word on it. Hallelujah. And in prayer and praise, the word tells us that the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple where the ark of God was. Stay, the ark representing the presence of God. Stay in the presence of God, for it's in the presence of God that miracles are born. And in this darkness, there is the Samuel, the miracle child. God has heard, birthed through a woman who had been barren, and intercession before God, God heard. And in verse 11, God says, for Hannah made this vow to God, O Lord Almighty, if you will look down upon me and my sorrows, answer my prayer, give me a son, then I will give him back to you. And so after a year, she fulfilled this vow to God, this promise to God, by giving Samuel to Eli to serve in the temple. So Hannah quickly learned how to not hold on to God's provisions, how to hold on to God's visions loosely. Because that which God gives us, we need to learn to let it go in order to serve other people. Because he did not give you those gifts and talents for you to continue to show up on Sunday morning and not put them to use. And I'm going to say something bold here. The reason sometimes these seats are staying empty is because we have come to church and sit, and you're the ones that's supposed to be serving those that are coming in. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Every one of you all in here. And I want to speak to you youth. You youth for just a minute. You youth, look at me just for a minute. Hallelujah. Those in the sound booth, stand up for a second. I want to get bold here and I'm going to tell you. You come to church and you may think, why do we still keep coming here? Because there's really nothing going on for the youth or nothing is happening. But I'm telling you, there is an anointing on every one of you youth that are coming here. Every one of you youth that are in children's church. God is birthing something in you during this time. And just because there's not a big youth group and you're not doing all these things yet, there is an anointing and calling on each one of you children, each one of you youth that are in this church. For it's in, if we go through life and we begin to look at the things that we've gone through, God says, I'm using that as a time. And at the appointed time, I'm going to bring that forth in you. And you're going to be able to use this season in your life to minister to young people when you get older. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So find out where your place is in the body and get up and begin to serve. Amen. And then you're going to see these seats full of people that are coming in that you need to serve until they get to the place of where they are serving. Yes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. So Hannah began to realize and recognize that all things are God's and are best when given back to Him. Amen. So she gave what God had promised back to Him as service to God. So your gifts and talents and things are that are given to you are not meant to stay hidden and to lie dormant. Amen. But you give them back to God for the nation and for the people around you that see that in you. So God did something amazing. Not only did He allow Hannah to conceive, thus reversing her shame of being barren and giving her a new position, but God blessed her legacy. And that's what I was saying to you young people. God's going to bless your legacy because you've continued to come here to church. You've continued to sit in that word that Miss Sherry's given you and that pastors are giving you. You continue to come because there's a legacy that God says, I want you to leave some things too. Amen. And what greater legacy than to leave those behind you? He says, I never quit. I showed up when I didn't want to. I kept on keeping on when I didn't want to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Her faithfulness to God continued on in her son Samuel, who became a priest. And Samuel was the one who later set David apart as the next king and anointed him. All because Hannah chose to give back the barrenness of Sarah's life at that time, and God blessed her with a son, and she chose to give that gift back to God. And Samuel anointed and set David apart as the next king and anointed him. And Jesus came from the line of David. What would have happened if Hannah said, I quit, I give up, I'm getting out of here, that's it. If I can't have kids, that's it. Don't give up. The winds of change are blowing. So Hannah's faithfulness didn't just impact her life and family. Her faithfulness affected an entire generation, an entire nation of people. Her faithfulness. So it's not all just about us. The enemy is not trying to make you quit just because of you. He's trying to make you quit because he knows there's something inside of you that's just waiting for that word to come forth to ignite that within you. So he's not just after you, he's after your children and your generation of grandchildren and on and on and on. And those that you come across in life, he's not just after you, but he's after the legacy that you can leave behind. So two times Hannah got a double portion of God's blessing. She got a double portion of meat from her husband every year at Shiloh at verse 5 before Samuel's birth. She also got a double portion from God in the form of more children. God gave Hannah 3 sons and 2 daughters. That's 5 children. So see, when you start allowing God's blessings to flow out of you and those promises, it's like more like the energy. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps on giving and keeps on giving. Your blessing just keeps on giving, blessing after blessing after blessing. So Hannah might have ever experienced a large family had she not given what God had given to her back to Him. And it all started because she showed up and she didn't quit. She showed up and she didn't quit. She didn't look around at all the empty seats. She didn't look around at what was happening or not happening. she said, I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up. And then she began to pray, and she began to believe God. So let us not linger at just the outer courts of what God longs for us to do in this season. Because the wind of change is blowing. Amen. The wind of change is blowing. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word today. Your word that is of truth that will last into eternity, God. And Father, whatever we may feel like that we're barren in, we just thank you that the winds of change are blowing. And things are happening all around us. We call those gifts and things that are within inside of us that they can no longer stay dormant. They can no longer lie passively inside of us, but they must come forth in this season, God.